All right, the book of Colossians chapter 1, let's start with that. Now remember, we began last time to speak about Christ, the final truth. That's the title I was trying to remember, which I didn't remember until, you know. But that's what I called it, Christ, the final truth. All right, what did I call it? Christ, the final truth. And that's what we want to look at again. Remember when I began last time, I said that I went through our catalog of messages, and there were only two series of messages in which I've discussed something like this. And one is titled, My Place in Christ, and the other one, The Work of Christ. If you haven't, please try and get those messages. It's a series. There are two series. That each one will have between 5 and 8 messages, can't remember for sure. And they're available, of course, on our website, kwm.com.ng, for free download. Now, the emphasis I'm laying here, of course, many things will be said again, and that we have said before. We'll still say them again. But my emphasis here is on the struggles of mankind, all right, to reach God, and the end of that in Christ Jesus. That's my emphasis. My emphasis on the struggles of mankind to reach God, and the end of that in Christ Jesus. That's why I called it Christ, the final truth. And you'll see the reason in a moment. Before we read that Colossians chapter 1, let's read the book of John chapter 14. The book of John chapter 14. What I want is one verse, but I just like to take in context from verse 1. From verse 1, it says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Now this is where I want verse 6. And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one," everybody said, "no one." Yeah, that's what I want then. "No one comes to the Father but through me." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me." Now, that's a very bold statement. I need to start with that. It's a very bold statement. It's one of the problems that the world has today with Christianity. I've had this discussion with people from the time I was in secondary school, and they have tried to explain that it is not possible, you understand, that you have, I don't know how many millions of Muslims as an example, all right? Maybe almost 1 billion, if not more. And you are saying that they are wrong. Now, if you want to talk about Buddhists, there are hundreds of millions, all right? A huge chunk of Chinese people are Buddhists. You are saying they are wrong. Now, that is a challenge, you know. It's as if, no, there must be something out of, you know, there's something out of order. You can't be that only one. Are you getting my point? How can you be the only one? Arguments come up. What about those who never heard the gospel? What about the Africans before the missionaries came? What about this? What about that? What about this? And these questions keep on coming. And then you read this kind of statement. Let me say something about the words of Jesus Christ. It's either they are true or they are not. Let's start with that. When it says no one, let me not even go through the discussion whether they are true or not. I believe we are here because we believe his words are true. Amen? Yeah. So when he says no one, he means what? No one. No one. Including David, Moses, Abraham. That's very interesting. All right? Very interesting. Now, let me say this quickly, okay? I've said it before that there are two seasons. There are two epochs in the existence of mankind. And it's reflected in the dates that we used. There's what the Bible calls the former times and then the latter day. That is the latter days and the book of Hebrews. It will tell you that God spoke in former times to the fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken in his son. And that, I said before, when we touched on that, that was referring specifically, of course, to the Jewish nation, all right, the fathers that he was talking about. But that same thing applies to the whole world. Everybody comes to, all civilizations come to a head at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before Jesus came, God also spoke to the African through their own prophets. He spoke to the Asians through their own prophets. He spoke to the Europeans through their own prophets. Now, it's important to understand this. God is not stupid. I don't know why I said that. But you know, sometimes people will talk about him as if he doesn't know what he's doing. All right? That you say, what about those who were in Africa those days? As if God did not know they were there. He knew. All right? The only thing is that the records of their own things, you and I don't have it. Because the way God spoke to them, it's not relevant to you today. So God didn't bother to keep a good record for you to be learning from later on. No, he didn't bother. The only one that he kept an accurate record of was because Paul said it like this. He said, to them were given to keep custody of the oracles of God. Of all the peoples that were on the earth, God chose a particular nation. You must understand the principle. Every time, even when he was dealing with the nation of Israel, he chose a particular tribe, all right? The tribe of Levi. And he said that the Levites, this will be their duties. They will offer sacrifices on behalf of their brethren, and they will teach the law. That's what he chose them for that. So he said the mouth of a priest is supposed to produce knowledge. It's supposed to impact the knowledge of the law of God. In the same, now, they were 12 tribes, but they chose a particular tribe. I said, this is your duty. In the same manner, he looked at the whole of the races of mankind and chose one particular race and said, the plan I have for mankind, I will give it to you guys to hold for me until the time comes when everybody should read those plans and decode them. Even the angels did not understand the plan. Are you getting my point? That is, the Bible says these are things that angels wanted to look into. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? The people who prophesied those days did not understand. It was clear, the Bible made it clear to us, that Isaiah will be prophesying. He will talk and talk and talk and talk. After a while, he will say, what am I saying? What is this thing I'm saying? I'm saying things that are impossible. I'm saying things that don't even tie to what is going on here. As I saying things like, my strength for nothing, and you know, my judgment is my God, and then God starts telling me things like, don't worry, I will yet make you a light to many nations. I'm not planning to preach to many nations. I like my nation Israel. Isaiah had no understanding. That is, with all the prophecies that Jeremiah prophesied, most of the things he was saying, he didn't have an idea of what they meant. But God said simply, just say those things, keep them for me. When the time comes, I will help people. I will give the understanding to people. And for your information, that was one major thing. In fact, the man that was pivotal in that, his name was Paul. Paul was the most important person. Most of the things that God wrote in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Peter had no idea whatsoever until Paul came on the scene and began to show him, bro, Peter, see this scripture you are quoting? You don't know the meaning of. You think it refers to the Jews? Let me tell you something. It is the same thing. It applies both to Jews and Gentiles equally. That was one thing that Peter didn't understand until Paul came on the scene. Please, let me try and we'll read this in a moment, but I'm going to make an issue here. So people ask all those questions. Let me get back there. So in the former times, I was trying to explain, God spoke in different ways to different people. To the Jews, he spoke through their prophets. I've told the story again and again, at least. I learned this a bit of the Nigerian story. I heard a bit of the one from Western Nigeria and the one that was told by Ishaya Udu. I watched him on TV, all right? And he was telling the story of how come Southern Zaria is Christian, and his grandfather was an Islamic cleric. For those who haven't heard the story before, let me quickly tell it in about a minute. He said that the man was seeking after truth. Because of his search for truth, he had not just like you have Islamic schools till today. You have the young boys learning from. It's not new here. It's been like even those days they used to have school of the prophets. You hear that is Saul also amongst the prophets? There was a school of prophets. So people like that always existed. So this man also had his own. And because he was really seeking for truth, one day an angel appeared to him and told him, take 2 days journey down towards the south. You meet messengers of God, they will tell you the truth. And he began to walk down, and he met missionaries going up towards the north. And he met them, greeted them that an angel appeared to me and said that you guys have a message for me. They sat down, taught him the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went back home, taught it to his followers, and the whole community became Christians. That's why till today, you find that Southern Kaduna is Christian. It was that man's influence. Years later, his grandson became a pediatrician and vice chancellor of ABU at the time, and he was the one that told this story. God was speaking to people. That's what I'm going to explain. Because if you look at this, because the way it is that it didn't stop 2,000 years ago. It didn't say, okay, this is the last time. I don't know what I get my point. This is now the latter days. The latter days begin in each area when the light of Jesus comes into that place. Until then, he speaks to them different ways. I've told the story before of when missionaries were coming to Ijebuland. Is it Ijeshaland or Egbaland? Yes. And the Ifa priests, one day they were doing their divinations and their incantations and their recitations. And then the revelation came that the gods, all right, have sent them messengers. And they should go and listen to those messengers. And that was how come when the missionaries arrived, to their surprise, there was no fight. Are you getting the point? There was no fight. Like, what are you saying? People say, okay, are you the ones that are supposed to tell us? Okay, gather the whole, they are told their Oba that the gods are sending messengers. We are supposed to receive them. So when the missionaries arrived, they met a very willing people. There's a book I have in my house, Spirits of Mindoro, somewhere around that China area. Spirits of Mindoro. Those people had writings, hundreds of years old, describing when a time will come that the light will come to liberate them from the bondage they were in. That thing was written at least 300 years before missionaries arrived. God is not stupid. Don't come and start saying, how can you tell him that nobody can come? What about the Africans before that time? When were you born? God has been watching over the Africans before that time. And anybody who loved truth and wanted righteousness, God knew how to take care of him. I've explained to you before, I know a bit of course, Yoruba culture. The Ifa priest, when you hear of Ifa priest, Ifa. His job was to divine. He was a diviner. You've heard of Balaam in the Bible. Don't be confused. Balaam was not your type of prophet. You find it Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation is not somebody's name. Lamentation, Jeremiah. You know, Isaiah, you know, Micah, Nahum, you know, Habakkuk, Daniel, and co. No, Balaam was not like that. Balaam is what you and I would have called a diviner. He was not one of the Israelites. He didn't understand the prophets the way you and I read the account amongst the Jews. He was just a diviner. And he understood the ways of God. And he was so good with it. Everybody knew that if the man placed a curse on you, you were cursed. And it's not new. You come down to Africa. Look, what you and I call juju men, all right? If our priests, they could place curses on people. They understood how to do it. They knew how to go before the presence of the judge of the heavens and bring forth their petitions and draw forth judgment against people. They knew how to do it. Many of them spoke for God. Many of them. The knowledge of right and wrong, people had it. They had it. There is no culture in the world where they did not know that to take another man's wife was evil. There was none. All of them knew. Some of them may have done it, but they all knew it was bad. And everywhere they knew if you catch him, behead him, everybody will support you. Let's get that very clear. So let nobody come and confuse and say, hey, what about the African? God knew what he was doing. But let me sit on my main message, I beg. I want to talk about Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, let's continue teaching. Now, so that statement, let's get back to it. Many people were seeking after God. We need to say this again and again. When Jesus said, no one can come to the Father but through me. What that tells you, anyway, I'll tell you what that tells you in a moment. Let me continue what I'm going to explain. Many people were seeking after God. Last time, as I was finishing the message last time, I talked about the quest of mankind. I'm going to continue from that point. And I told stories about how the Hindus went about it. And it wasn't only them. I said something last time that truth The problem with truth, when it becomes error a lot of times, is not because if you want to examine what we and I will call facts, you think it's totally wrong. It is a lot of times the time frame, the spiritual geographical location. Now, that statement is very correct, too. I knew what I was saying. When I say spiritual geographical location, there is a kingdom of darkness. There is a kingdom of Christ. That's the kingdom of his dear son. There are things that are factual. You know, when you're talking about spiritual laws, the moment they enter into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, they don't make sense anymore. They don't work anymore. But if you were to take them out and look at them on their own merit, those laws are true. And one of the things I'm going to explain again in this series is to help Christians, preachers, to understand how that we must be careful not to confuse common spiritual laws with laws of Christ. Let me give a very, very, you know, one that's very easy to relate with. For example, the one we say a lot in Christianity, which is very, you know, is really, really true in itself. For application in Christianity, you have to be very careful. For example, they will tell you that if you want, you give, right? In Christianity, it doesn't work like that. It's a sound spiritual principle. In Christ Jesus, Jesus told us something. That law is good, it's okay. But you guys, if you believe in me, you receive only on one premise. You ask in my name. No other premise. Don't quote anything else. Don't try anything else. Any other thing you do, just do them because they are good for doing. When you want to ask, when you want to expect, make sure your expectation is based upon the credit in your account because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Don't add anything to it. These are, you see, that's where the confusion often is. People don't understand that some of these laws, they are real, they are true, they are okay spiritual laws, but Jesus confounded them by his sacrifice. Therefore, a man sows, so what a man sows, he shall also reap. So he's a murderer. So problem will come upon him. And yes, you get down before the throne. You want to plead against him because of his works. As soon as you mention his name, and his name is called in judgment in God's presence, suddenly, a voice speaks up that he has believed. So what he sowed, he can't reap it now. What is he going to reap? He's going to reap the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Why? Because he believed. So the law of karma, the law of retribution, all those laws, very good and sound and perfect laws, once the thing enters into the realm of Christ, they fail. That's what I said before. You did good, it also fails. The law that if you did good, you will get good back also fails. You did bad, it also fails. Why? Once they pass through the purifying zone of the blood of Jesus, they don't make sense anymore. They don't make sense anymore. That's what I mean by laws. You know, when you talk about spiritual geography, you have to be careful how you apply them. That's why I tell Christians all the time, when you want to pray, please don't insult anybody. But say, God, see what I have done. God, say, you haven't done anything, no. That's what I mean when I'm talking about the fact that you have to be, that what may appear true, all right, becomes a lie, becomes false when you cross certain boundaries. Time is also a boundary. We're talking about spiritual geography. Time is also a boundary. There are things that were true before. You cross a particular time, you know, boundary, a time limit, suddenly they are false. And the most important time limit is that sacrifice of Jesus Christ again. The example I gave last time to prove it is that you can have a right-handed car and drive it without problems in United Kingdom. You take the same car, it's a very beautiful 2013 model Jaguar, very beautiful car. You put it on a Nigerian road, even with potholes, they will still arrest you. They won't tell you that your car is very fine, no, let's leave it. Once you bring the car onto a Nigerian road, it's error. Why? Because the law in Nigeria doesn't allow that kind of car. Your steering in Nigeria must be on the left side of your dashboard. So you see, this thing is very, very important. Sometimes people tell you that this thing was done before the law. You understand my point? I'll say, whether it's before the law or not, is irrelevant. The point is that it's before Christ. Because many things done before the law. Animal sacrifices started in the Garden of Eden. as soon as they came out of the Garden of Eden, the men began it. The information I have is that God did the first one in the Garden of Eden. Because the men sinned, and when they had to leave, all right, that's why, where did God get the skin he covered them with from? He had to kill an animal. You're getting the principle. Noah continued it. You know, as soon as he came out of the ark, he brought out the animals and made a sacrifice. But as soon as Jesus died, that became the end. Anybody brings a cock or a goat for the blood value right now is walking in iniquity. Can you see the point? If you bring a goat or a cock for the meat value, the Lord is with you. You know what I'm saying? You want to eat meat, it's okay. But for the blood value, suddenly you are beginning to insult the blood of Jesus. So anyone who's getting involved in those sacrifices today, having heard the gospel of God, is a sinner. If it's in a place where the gospel has never reached, you'll be amazed that it still has some effect. But once the gospel reaches there, the fellow automatically becomes a sinner. A time boundary has been drawn. Now, it is not only with blood sacrifices. There are many things that end was Christ. I don't want to begin to mention it now, so as not to raise too many questions in your mind. Anyway, let me just drop one. I was reading Paul, the book of Colossians. And Paul said, if they harass you about Sabbath, they tell them to get away. Yeah, Paul said that. You know, that's why you go to the New Testament, you don't find the apostles sitting down on such matters. They left those things alone. And we have to be careful when we go back into the old covenant to start digging out strange principles. Like I always say, be careful. If Peter did not say something was important, Paul didn't say it was important. John wrote, with all the writing that John wrote, 3 different letters. Peter wrote 2 good letters. Let's not talk about Paul. He was always writing. You put him in prison, he writes. He can't travel, he writes. Somebody's going ahead of him, he writes. If he's happy, he writes. He has bad news about you, he writes. Good news about you, he writes. With all of that, if he left some things alone, be careful. Before you make laws out of them, be very careful. Why? Because they deliberately left some things out. Why? They say, wait, we met the real thing. I don't know what I get my point. We met him. We met him. Having known him, I don't want his description of him. I know him. You cannot still be using types to indicate Christ for somebody who is in him. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's what I'm trying to explain. I've not forgotten the thing I said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me say this, all right? That's where I ended last time. The fact that men struggled, they labored in those times. We saw the story of the Hindus, how they went after holiness. Men will walk naked. Those are the sadhus. Those are the men, not the commoners. The people who are going after true holiness in their own way. They will go naked. Not at ground level. They move up to the mountains where things were cold. They endured the cold. They live in the caves. Why? They are trying to attain holiness. Don't forget the few examples I gave you. Look. The nakedness is a problem. But despite being naked, some men still go beyond that and start inflicting themselves with all kinds of pain. The one I described hadn't sat down in 10 years. He had to remain standing for 12 years. When he first started, his feet were so swollen. Of course, the blisters ruptured and became festering sores that never really totally healed. By the time my wife and I were watching him on Discovery Channel, on National Geographic, he had been doing that for 10 good years. Was trying to attain a particular level of holiness. He wanted to escape the corruption that is in the world That's what they were going for. I mentioned another one that kept his hands raised up like this. Also for about 10 years. He had to do it for 12. By the time I saw him, that is, we're watching him on TV, the hand was withered and it was straight. The kind of person that Jesus would have loved to heal. This one was well, he afflicted himself. Why? They wanted to attain a particular connection with God. Men have used all kinds of works. You're not a Hindu. You're not a Buddhist. You're not into those realms. You're a Christian, and I want to talk to Christians. Christians still do that. What do Christians use? There's plenty, very, very nice and good things. Though. They use prayer. They use fasting. They use giving. They use their tithes. They use church attendance. Please follow me. This is the funny part. They even use departing away from what they consider sin. I had to qualify it what they consider sin. Because in doing it, a lot of them, they are still walking in sin. People have stripped themselves. When we were young, the law against wearing jewelry was because people made idols of their gold. They gave to Aaron. Aaron cast them into the, you know, that Aaron's account is always making me laugh anytime I get there. Moses said, Aaron, what did you do? He said, they gave me gold. I threw it into the fire. Then the calf, I can't come out by myself. I mean, go and read it. That's how he said it. He said, and out came this calf. I've always been wondering, oh, bro, Aaron, this is your own spirituality is funny. How did you throw gold into fire? Then the calf just come out. Now, what am I saying? So men said, we don't want to become idol worshippers. So they strip themselves of their jewelry. That's another method they try to use. Denominations have been built upon obedience to the laws of Moses. I had a friend in university, down to fish. He used to, all of us would go to a particular set of bucaterias, all right, to go and eat. Then he would leave us and go to another one. Why? I found out later. I think those ones used to use a particular kind of fish. So we did not know now. We just chop any fish. You know, you eat any student. Anything you give a student is good. Students enter somewhere to go and eat. My friend said, no, he has to go somewhere else because of the kind of meat. Later I found, I didn't tell me, or somebody that said, don't mind him. That it is church matter. That those people cook the only kind of fish he agrees to eat. And his reason was biblical. He starts quoting for you what Moses said was good fish and fish that was not good. All of this, what is their aim? To attain righteousness, to please God, to be close to God, to get to know Him. That's it. Those are the attempts. My message is simple. All of them are a waste of time. You must understand motive counts with God. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, motive is very important. Two people can do the same thing. Two people are praying. That is, both of them are spending hours in prayer. The prayer of one is not heard at all. In fact, not like God is angry. Not like God is angry. It's more of God says this fellow is wasting time. Why? What is the object of his prayer? Why is she there praying? The more I pray, the more I'll be pleasing to God. The more my sins will be forgiven, the more God will love me, the more I attain to spirituality. Unfortunately, all those things don't work. So the fellow will be praying morning, afternoon, and night. Let me say something to you. Please, I hope I don't sound critical. But you know, we have to tell the truth. And the truth will always slap some people in the face, all right? If you see anybody that's still going through all those motions, praying certain hours of day, number of hours in a day, you know, chanting, and they say it's a form of spirituality. It's a waste of time. And a lot of our denominations will do it here today. It's a waste of time. If you cannot point to why you are like, I want to ask God for this. I want to give God thanks simply for this. I want to change the situation in a particular area. If you cannot point to those three things, you are praying for something, maybe for somebody or for yourself, or you are just come to out of the fullness of the gratitude in your heart to express it to God. Do you get my point? Or you want to change something around. If it is just a matter of a form of worship, then you are walking in iniquity. Flat. Listen. What Jesus came to do was to make spirituality a normal part of your life. You know why men were trying to attain to godliness, to righteousness, to acceptance with God? Because as a matter of fact, they were far from Him. And being far from God is something everybody knows. Once you grow up, you will know you are far from Him. I thought a series is Life According to Divine Purpose. I think that's what I called it, yes. I started with Key to Eternal Life. I have not a principle. Now listen, if you have not drunk water, you know you are thirsty. You know that? You don't have to believe in water, you will be thirsty. It is not a matter of, I just believe, they taught us in church that you have to drink. Just don't drink, you will become thirsty. In the same manner, you say, I don't believe in vitamins. So I don't believe in vitamins. So somebody extracts all the vitamins from your food. You will become anemic. You will become weak. Your heart may even fail. Your skin will change. Many of the skin problems people have is vitamin that's not complete. I'm looking at something. In the same manner, you did not even know about the vitamin B. You were just eating rice. You get my point, like Koreans. Rich people in Korea eat a lot of rice. Poor people will add beans to it. They found out that a certain kind of disease was found amongst the rich, the poor did not have. Simply because of the kind of vitamin B that was inside the beans that the rice did not have. Now, what am I trying to say? The rich did not have to believe in the vitamin B. They just eating rice. But they fell sick. Their children were ill. They had to go to the hospital. Until somebody identified what the problem was. In the same manner, you may not call it God. You may not call the thing that you are looking for the Spirit of God. If you are lacking in it, you will be sick all the time. I don't know whether you are getting my point. You will know something is missing in your life. I bought a book by Ravi Zacharias. I'm reading it. Now, I listened to him quite a bit. And one of the things he tries to address is this new age thing when you get to a place like the U.S. And it's a sign of emptiness. It's pure emptiness. You find that a big movie star has gone to start learning yoga. They go into meditations and all those kind of... It's all emptiness. That is, something is calling. Do you understand? There's a part of the soul, or what the Bible calls the spirit, actually, that's reaching out for its own nutrient. You don't give the child protein, he gets kwashoko. You don't give the spirit the food that it needs, he also gets spiritual kwashoko. So the fellow will have all the money in the world, but he has all the emptiness that goes with it. And that book that Yinka gave me at that time, the book that changed your world, is that the title of the book? Yeah, at the beginning, the man described one rock star, plenty of money. How the man was so frustrated, he's on drugs, and finally one day he committed suicide. And over the next few days, scores of people, young boys, also followed him and committed suicide because they had been listening to his music. And listen to the lyrics of the music, it's all emptiness. Life is empty, meaningless, death is coming, all those kind of things. These are spiritual diseases. You think the guy they crazy. Not be say they crazy, they sick. I don't know what I get my point. It's nutritional deficiency. It's not vitamin D, it's not vitamin B, it's not vitamin C. It is vitamin S, vitamin spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So for that reason, that's what I'm trying to bring out. So for the long time, people wanted to know God. A friend of mine told me about one celebrated atheist. And one day he was interviewed in a radio station. Of course, he was there railing against God. There is no God. There is no God. God is dead. This is doom. Finally, somebody said, okay, If what you are saying is true, then what's the purpose of everything? Before he could think about it, he had broken down in tears. That is, before he could catch himself, he had started crying. Of course, after a while, the spirit pushing him would say, no, 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 come, don't cry, you're a man. Okay, I'm a man. Things don't have to have meaning. Before then, he had shed the tears. Why? Because the spirit is crying for it. Now, for that reason, men went different ways. You look back those days, some would do human sacrifices. And you feel like they were wicked. Let me tell you, they were not wicked. They were just ignorant. Do you know people submitted themselves to those sacrifices? You think it's every time they had to catch somebody who's unwilling? I mean, look at people who are blowing themselves up today. Is that not human sacrifice? Did they force them? They left them alone to go and do it. Men are reaching for something. Let me tell you something about Christianity. If you know the power of what you have, you'll be preaching all the time. If you know literally, if a Boko Haram boy sees you and he gives you 5 minutes, he will remove the belt of bomb, you know, the suicide belt, and throw it away. Because he didn't strap that belt on because he's happy. He strapped that belt on because it's empty. If he had something else to fill his heart, that wouldn't require him tearing himself to pieces and innocent people around him, he would take it. Listen, do you know why they are imams? All right? Do you know why they can pump their hearts full of venom and the murderous spirit? Because there is nothing inside it. Let the same imam put me there, sit him down. Now he ain't gonna convert, you know that. Start preaching to me. I don't want to say anything. The kind of eye I'll give you after 10 minutes, you will say, oh boy, what is it that is inside you that I don't have? And Ravi Zacharias will give you testimonies of when he had spoken. So one day he finished preaching. He was in a place where things were rough, you know, religious tension. And he speaks to enlightened people and all that. In the crowd was a militant, you know, a real militant, Islamic militant with his men. At the end of his speaking, he was seen that the tune that somebody wanted to see him, that guy wanted to see him. For a while, he panicked. He said, okay, they have come. The guy came in. He was armed. Looked at him, removed his arms, put them down, and prostrated that the man should pray for him. Because he had something he did not have. Listen, men strive. That's why I gave you the list of how Christians also strive. And why do they strive like that? Which is why we are doing these teachings, because they don't understand that they don't have to. All the striving of mankind is their own labors. And what God said, this is his own law, his eternal law. The just shall live by faith. No matter how much you try, it can never work. The just shall live by faith. It has never worked with God ever that you attain anything with him and it was not by faith. Why is it like that? I don't know. I met it like that. From the early days, you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It was describing what happened. And Enoch walked with God until he was no more because God took him. And it says that it had to have been by faith, because without faith, it is impossible. Now, you must understand words. It is not good. It's not, that kind of thing is not nice. Don't waste time like this. That's a long route. There's a shorter route. I said the story of Paul, you know why he gave his life to Christ? He found that the gospel of Jesus was true when he saw a miracle before his eyes at the crusade as a student in London. And the Islamic thing had taught him that all the years he missed praying, he had to make up for it. He was supposed to pray 5 times a day and he had not prayed for 5 years at all. The following 5 years, he had to pray 10 times a day to make up for it. That was the school of Islam he understood. So when he found out that Jesus was real, and the preacher said, Jesus will forgive you of your sins. So he saw it was simple mathematics. If I follow this Jesus, I don't have to do anything else. If I go the other way, I'm owing 5 years of prayer. 5 times 5 times 365. Oh boy, the guy calculated and said, Jesus, you will save me a lot of trouble. I'm happy he made that decision, because what he didn't realize was that even if he said he had the strength to pay back, the fact still remains that without faith, it is impossible. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It's not that if it's not good or it will take you longer. It's that no matter how much effort you put into it, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. That has always been God's method. The animal sacrifices he gave, at least the Jews were aware of. Don't know much about the other people. It was a sign of faith. That's what it was. Anyone who offered the sacrifice and did not do it by faith got nothing. That's why you find out that Abraham, that let's start from Noah, people like Noah and co, you will see something always kindled their offering sacrifices. They didn't just offer sacrifice and say, God, where are you? We will find you today. We will find you today. When Elijah brought out a sacrifice, it was because he was sure God was there. He wanted to prove something to people. Are you getting my point? It wasn't like, let's look for God. Bring out a sacrifice. We'll do something today and provoke him to show.